Hello, and welcome to episode 46 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. On this podcast, I attempt to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like for me to look at a Bible question that you may have and consider it for a future episode, you can email me your question to pastorstevendbc@gmail.com. Again, that's pastorstevendbc@gmail.com. On this episode, this is the third and what will be the final in a series of podcasts that I've been doing that are looking to examine Matthew's prophecies related to the birth of Jesus. In the previous episodes, which you can find in the podcast series, that would be episodes 44 and 45, we've looked at the prophecies that Matthew has in chapters 1 and 2 that Jesus fulfills, and we have examined so far that Jesus fulfills the promises and the prophecies that he would be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also that he would be one of the descendants of David. And then last time, of course, we saw in addition to that, that he would be born in a specific location, a specific Bethany, and we see where he was born there. So today we're going to look at what I said was the third and final in a series of prophecies that Matthew gives in chapters 1 and 2. And so get your Bibles out, and we'll begin the final look at these prophecies. Now, the next prophecy that I want us to look at and is found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, is the one related to the virgin birth. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is the well-known passage and prophecy. Even if you're not familiar with the chapter and verse, you might say you probably will recognize this one. Now, in this prophecy here, of course, in the first 17 verses of Matthew chapter 1, we have the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. He's of the lineage of David and Abraham. But then when you get to verse 18, we transition to what I might call the birth announcement, the announcement of the birth of Jesus. But unlike Luke's account that tells of Mary, the mother, if you will, the account of Matthew tells of the father, Joseph, meaning the earthly father, we might preface by that. But you'll notice in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows: when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. So this would reconcile itself or parallel itself to Luke's account in Luke chapter 1. So here, as I just read, you see where Mary, even though she's betrothed, we would think of this as a more legal version or variant of today's engagement to Joseph, she's already found with child, which you'll notice as the account Luke says of the Holy Spirit. So it was a divine conception by God, a work of God in the Virgin Mary. And Joseph, of course, is thinking, what do I do? He doesn't want to disgrace her. And clearly Joseph seen as a man of righteousness there. But you'll notice in verse 22, after the dialogue that goes on with Joseph and the angel that God sends, you'll notice in verse 22, Matthew records something that we see very frequently in Matthew's gospel. It says, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Often in Matthew's accounts, what we have is something occurred in the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus and such. And what Matthew is recording is that the purpose of it was to fulfill Scripture. Of course, Matthew written to a Jewish audience, that would make sense. The Jewish audience would expect the Messiah to fulfill certain things. So Matthew, if you will, obliges and gives that. And so the actual prophecy, you'll notice, it says that this was done, this virgin birth, this virgin conception, and all that is brought about through the virgin birth was done. Notice verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So what you see there is that the prophecy there in verse 23 is related to the account of the prophecy given in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. So let's turn there real quick. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 7 and we'll look at the verses 10 through 14. The actual prophecy that Matthew is giving is in verse 14. But essentially what you have is you have a story. The backdrop is given in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles 28. So 2 Kings 16, 2 Chronicles 28 is the backdrop to Isaiah 7. But basically what you have is that King Ahaz is getting ready to be overthrown, and Isaiah the prophet comes to Ahaz and tells him to seek assistance, seek the help of the Lord. Ahaz refuses to do this. Of course, if you're familiar with the story, he does so because he's already aligned himself with foreign allegiances. And basically what you have is this theme of misplaced trust. The king has trusted in men rather than turning to the Lord first. And so Isaiah says to him, and we have it recorded in verses 10 through 14, that God wants Ahaz to ask him to give him a sign. In other words, the Lord says to Ahaz, ask me anything you want, no matter how great it is, of a sign, and I will show you that you could trust in me rather than trust in men. Don't trust in foreign alliances. Don't trust in these other things. Put me first. Ahaz, of course, refuses, and God, in a sense, says, well, I'm going to show you anyway, which is what you see in verse 14. God says, well, I'm going to show you anyway. I'm going to give you a sign. And the sign I like to see as two aspects, two components of it. The first is the more easy one, which is Emmanuel, because it's translated God with us. So God says to King Ahaz, even though you are a wicked, evil king, even though you have trusted in foreign alliances, I will be with you. And the reason largely is because of God's promises to David, King David, and the promise to bring a Messiah through the lineage of David. But then you have the second one, which is the miraculous, if you will, aspect of it. He says that I will give you a virgin. And the reason why I say this is the specific sign is given isn't that simply a female would give birth. Of course, childbirth is normative, normal, and the idea of a virgin giving birth, of course, would be miraculous. I'm going to read this to you. And it says, Isaiah was assuring the house of David, imperiled by foreign powers and debased by such rulers as Ahaz, would nevertheless not perish, but that God would send a savior of the line of David, born of a virgin, who would establish the glorious an everlasting kingdom of God, as described in Isaiah 9:6. This is so true because this is essentially what the prophecy is that even though Ahaz has aligned himself with foreign allegiances, he's a wicked ruler, God would not be inhibited or would fail to fulfill his promises to David. God would be with them, meaning the kings and the nation, until he brought forth a virgin, the miraculous birth of what we would know of as Jesus, fulfilled as described in the Matthew passage, as well as the Luke one as well, but in particular Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now I would encourage you, if you'd like a more detailed description and study on the virgin birth, I would encourage you to check out our Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan YouTube page. There is a message entitled The Virgin Birth, Selected Scriptures that I gave on December the 17th of this year. And I would encourage you to listen to it if you want more details. Now, as we move into the next prophecy, We're going to look at this is a unique prophecy. It's a little bit later in Jesus's early days, you might say, of being a child, going into those sorts of ages. And it deals with God's protection of the child Jesus by having the family leave and flee to Egypt. And we'll see where this pulls in a prophecy from the Old Testament, a particular minor prophet. So if you have your Bibles with you and you turn to Matthew chapter 2, you're probably familiar with verses 1 through 12 of Matthew 2. This is the account where the birth of Jesus, of course, has occurred. And we see that it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, which is what we looked at last episode, you see that in time Herod the king becomes troubled, and he calls the scribes and so forth to tell where the child was to be born. And we see the quote that we looked at last week, Matthew 2, verse 6. And then you have, of course, the kings that come and bring the child Jesus gifts, and they worship him. And then, of course, the Magi leave and they flee back to their own country. And so that's the typical story there, and we're probably familiar with that. But it's curious in Matthew, because we do get some more details of those early days of Jesus' childhood. Now, the prophecy that we're going to look at next is in verses 13 through 15. You'll see where it says, and now when they had gone, that's what we just read, the Magi, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So what you have is, very simply in Matthew, you have Matthew chapter 1 describes the genealogy, shows that Jesus is of the lineage of David as well as Abraham. We also see where Joseph is told to take and marry Mary, if you will, and the, if you will, virgin birth description that we looked at earlier. We also see in chapter 2 where the Magi come on the scene, and we see the prophecy related to Micah chapter 5. But the story doesn't end. The Lord's protection comes via an angel of the Lord and tells Joseph to get out. They need to flee because of what Herod's going to do. So notice what happens in verses 14 and 15. We see that Joseph is very quick to be obedient. Verse 14 says, so Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, of course that's Mary, while it was still night, and they left for Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. But notice again, I mentioned this to you last time in the previous episodes, but also in the first part we looked at with the virgin birth. Here it says this was done, the fleeing of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, the child, was to fulfill something in Scripture. Notice verse 15, out of Egypt I called my son. So what is the prophecy Matthew's referring to? Well, this is actually a quote from Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. So this is a prophecy that was given in by one of the minor prophets, Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1, that Matthew uses and applies to Jesus. And essentially what you have is that Israel was often called God's son. You can see this, for example, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Jesus, of course, is God's son. You can see this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, among many places. And so basically what's being described here is that Matthew is reminding the reader that the Lord is showing his divine protection of Jesus. Remember, he's a child at this point. And so the Lord is protecting him. And so just as God protected and delivered Israel, so too would he do the same for the child Jesus. Great prophecy and a great reminder of the Lord's protection of Jesus, ensuring that he would come and fulfill and do all that the Lord had for him to do. So now we come to the last of the prophecies that are given in the first two chapters of Matthew. And we'll find this last one in verses 16 through 23. In the actual prophecy itself is contained in verse 18. So as we continue with the story, all of which is encompassed in chapter 2, Herod, of course, wants to seek out the child Jesus. He feels as though he's been tricked. And you'll notice that in verse 16 of chapter 2. And so he seeks to kill all of the male children who are in Bethlehem and the general vicinity. And as we keep going, you'll notice verse 17, again, what I've mentioned a few times on this episode as well as the two previous ones. Notice verse 17, then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. So again, Matthew, knowing that the primary audience would be looking for the fulfillment of Old Testament, if you will, prophecies and passages, he quotes in verse 18, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. And unfortunately, as the account goes forward, of course, Herod does slaughter the children. But again, we need to remember that the Lord had divinely protected Jesus, taking them out and delivering them into Egypt. Now, the quote itself, the prophecy comes in Jeremiah 31, verse 15. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 18 is a quote, Jeremiah 31, verse 15. And it's in its original context, it was supposed to be a comfort to Israel while they were in captivity. Though Israel was in captivity, hope was not lost, and there was a hope of restoration that would come in the future. You could read this in the context of Jeremiah 31, verses 16 through 17. And so in a similar way, what you have here is that hope would come out of sorrow, which is the context of the quote of Jeremiah 31, that hope would come out of sorrow, and this time, of course, it would come through the long-awaited Davidic Messiah, who would bring hope. And indeed, he did do that at his first coming, and of course, most certainly will do that at the Lord's second coming. Well, this concludes the prophecies that are given by Matthew in chapters 1 and 2 of his gospel, and they relate to the birth of Jesus. And as I said when we began, I pray that this will help you, these podcasts, not only learn more about what the scripture teaches, and great encouragement that God's word would be fulfilled, his protecting of the child Jesus and such, but also remind us of the reason we have Christmas. Of course, it does mean to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but the birth of Jesus, of course, ultimately leads to the cross, his death, his resurrection, and by trusting in him, we have eternal life, and we have peace, and all of those many, many blessings. If you haven't done so, as it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The condition is, have you received him as your own Lord, as your own Savior? And we do that simply, as the verse says, by belief, by trusting in who Jesus is. And of course, receive the greatest gift of them all, Christ himself, eternal life, and all that comes with it. And my prayer is that is the case for you. Well, thank you for listening to this episode, and in the future, we'll return to our Q&A format. Until then, God bless.